Hi, and welcome to TGSTS with M and Mo. This is Mo, and in this episode, M and I discuss the midlife crisis. What is it? Are we going through it? What do we do about it? So stay tuned.
Hey, Em.
Welcome to the Pacific Northwest.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
How you doing?
Good, cold.
Are you cold, really?
Sleepy,
got
man.
Your coffee.
Oh, this dang gloom.
It is. I don't know how people do stuff out here. I always say that. But you gotta do life, I guess.
Yeah, gotta live. Beautiful, beautiful. It's beautiful. That's the one thing.
It's nap weather, like you said.
Yeah, if you didn't have anything to do, it'd be perfect.
But I mean... But then there's
you're trying to wake adulting. Me up. I'm like, dude, I gotta process. I can't just be waking up.
We're so different. Like, as soon as I wake up, I hit the ground and I'm going.
Oof. Take me about an hour to get up here.
Oh yeah, well, it takes some time to get used to this. Real gloomy.
Yeah,
gloomy. But we're in the same place.
Yeah, same place, same time.
What? I can touch you. I can hug you. We got a good morning hug this morning. It's yes. Beautiful. So we get to record some podcasts in person.
Yep.
And today we're going to talk about women and midlife crisis.
Yes, we are.
So.
Do you feel like you're going, what is a midlife crisis?
You were like straight to the point. Are you having problems? Are you okay? I don't know. You know, I think we always had that idea of like men getting a Ferrari and dumping their first wife and getting another, you know, young girlfriend and just doing all the things or whatever. I don't know. I mean... I guess that's what I always thought a midlife crisis was just like a panic and like a total 180 on your life kind of thing. But I think now that I'm, you know, in my 40s, I think I'm having a different idea of what it looks like or what it could be or what brings it about, I guess.
Yeah.
How about you? What do you think it is?
I didn't look it up, but I feel like a midlife crisis is just that. It's like a point where you have to stop in the middle of life and be like, what the hell am I doing? Where did this, you know... A reevaluation of life almost and a re-understanding of yourself, which can cause panic and crisis.
Yeah, it really can.
Yeah. Because really the time, you know, the time has passed. You can't get the time back. Then the future, you know, is limited time. So.
Yeah. I don't know. What is. So I found this definition online. It says the realization that one's lifespan is likely halfway complete.
See?
Which can bring on existential questions related to one's identity, purpose, as well as deep reflection regarding the life that one has chosen and may wish to have moving forward. So it's like regret and like worry that time is running out and you have such a finite amount of time to do or fix or become whatever it is that you haven't done yet.
Yeah.
Oh. I know I thought it was interesting because in my... 30s, I think the idea of a quarter life crisis came out.
Yes.
And I feel like I could understand that a lot, especially with millennials and the idea that you should have X, Y, and Z lined up by this age. And if you don't have your degree and your career and your relationships and your friendships and your home and your all that stuff by like whatever age, I mean, that's, I feel like that's what it is maybe just expectations of milestones that you should be accomplishing and seeing whether you measure up to that, I guess.
Yeah. So once you throw those milestones out, then it's like, because I feel like I had like a midlife crisis in my 30s. Now, now I've been through all of that. Like, oh, kids, wanting kids or wanting marriage and all of these things. And now I'm just like.
It's so weird we're sitting next to each other talking to each other face to face.
Now I'm just like this. I feel good. Like I feel free. Like I feel like I have a freedom. I can do what I want to do. Hopefully get another cat.
What's that like?
It's nice. So, and I just, honestly, I feel too tired to have kids at this point.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't be a good parent. So
how was the last couple of days hanging out with me and my
Well, that's fun. You know, I'm just one of the kids, so that's different. Then I can walk away.
It's a lot.
It's
the responsibility
fun.
Of shaping humans.
Yes, right. That's the part.
It's a lot.
And it's so funny because looking back on childhood, and I think that goes to the midlife crisis, because I think sometimes it never ends, is that the smallest thing is life or death to these kids, you know, the smallest things. And it's like, when does that stop? I feel like it doesn't for some people. Then you just get at this age and it's like, oh, what have I done?
And then you're on a date with these people and you're like, whoa. Oh, no.
I mean, at this point, how old are they? Shoot, at this point. Need some Jenny and Sumi.
You never
That's
know.
That's sad.
You never know.
Like, where is my boo in daycare right now, y'all? That's sick.
Do you think that the concept of a midlife crisis, I have no idea what that is. Do you think that the concept of a midlife crisis is more like prevalent today, or was it more so like 50 years ago?
I think it was 30 years. Like, remember 30 something that show? Yeah, the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
The boomers and stuff brought it about, the midlife crisis. And I think because society changed, like everybody's out in the workforce. Uh-huh. It's not like
consumerism.
Yeah. It's not like just a like, what do you have to be in a crisis about? You're just in your family home, right. You know, going to the farm, coming back. Like
farm. Going to the farm. No,
going to the railroad.
No, yesterday. So I guess we'll talk about this later too, but we were driving around Portland and we saw this man who probably was like cracked out something.
Yeah.
He was doing something. He was in the bushes and stuff.
Yeah, on the freeway, on the side of the freeway.
And Mo was like, why can't he have a job? You know, go get a job at the railroad. I was like, the damn railroad.
The railroad.
What year is this? Almost 2024. You're talking about the railroad.
One of them good railroad jobs, you know? Make something of yourself.
Oh my gosh, we're old.
Yep.
We're old.
Does that scare you though, being old?
A little bit.
How so?
I don't think I really thought about it until my dad passed. And then I was like, wow, like there is an end point.
Yep.
And I mean, I always knew that or know that or whatever. And I think maybe we'll get into it later in the episode, but just the health stuff. And I think with the stress, I've been dealing with health issues related to stress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making me really stress more to think about my mortality and like my children and things that are left undone or unfinished or responsibilities that I don't want to leave behind. Should I, you know, meet my demise or whatever.
Do you have a will and living will or something? I mean, that's the most important.
Taken care of. Yeah. But still, I mean, even that's like, okay, great. That's taken care of. But who's going to do the day-to-day taking care of,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of stuff. So, and I think that's one of, this article or whatever that I found, it was talking about the idea, like for women, midlife crisis is very different for men.
Mm-hmm.
And for men, maybe it's more career driven or sexual even, I don't mm-hmm. know. But for women, there's this concept of like crossover stressors or a culmination of co-occurring stressors. So health and medical stuff changes. You're going through menopause, heart disease starts to show up, all kinds of diabetes,
yep.
cancer, that type of stuff. And then just the stress of whatever caregiving roles you may have aging parents. I mean, I mm-hmm. like that's my situation. Aging parents you're trying to care for. You've got kids. Maybe your kids have left the home and mm-hmm. you've got an empty nest. So there's just a lot of life change, divorce, death.
Yeah, all the life changes. Yep.
You know, and so that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the burden of especially the caregiving tasks overwhelmingly falls upon the women. So
yeah.
I feel like that's where the midlife crisis for women is different for the men. And that's a lot of stress, I feel like, just all those
How
things.
Do you plan that out? Like, what if something that were to happen, do you, like, set money aside for a nanny to come and take care? Like, how does that work?
Here's the interesting thing, and I think my husband and I probably need to talk about that more, but since I've stayed home with the kids,
mm-hmm.
I am the primary caregiver,
mm-hmm.
shuttling them, you know, to practices and school and things like that, and
mm-hmm.
preparing meals, and just the just the care of them.
Yeah.
And so a lot of emphasis is put on the financial responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So things are in place should something happen to my husband.
Yeah.
He is the financial, you know, provider for mm-hmm. our family. I don't know that things are in place should I not be here anymore.
Yeah.
What would happen? You know, how I think, and I think that my husband would agree it would be, this is a weird way to say it, would be more devastating, I think, for me to not be here anymore. Than for
Damn.
Him. Well, because we've talked about it and he's
yeah.
always said, well, I'm confident in your ability to find a job
yeah.
and do whatever. But like, I don't know what would happen to his career or for the kids, you know?
Yeah.
Should I?
Man, y'all should set it up where you don't even have to work again if anything happened.
I don't know. But I mean, this is midlife crisis. This isn't like if Emily bows out early. So.
That is a crisis. I mean, that's something people need
I mean, that's a different crisis.
Yeah, because that's something you
different.
Should... think about prices. Too is like how to, like you said, like do you hire a nanny? Like, yeah. like what do you do to have in place? Just to, that gives peace you some mind. Peace of mind in, yeah. while you're alive. You don't want it to ever happen, but it's just yeah. a peace of mind yeah. to know like this is going to happen.
I just think all, talking about this adds to the stress of my current midlife.
Yeah. See, it's like, hard, it's right? So you got to deal with it. Yeah.
The weight of things. I think when you talk about the quarter life crisis, you're 25. Mm-hmm. That's the quarter, right? 25. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, what are your stresses then, really? I mean, at that point, just like you said, as a kid, everything's life and death. Yeah. At 25, it was pretty serious. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have my career figured out. I'm living in this janky little apartment. How come I don't have this, this, and this? Yep. How come I'm not married?
Right?
How come I don't have a boyfriend kids? Even? Yeah. Why? Who is this 25? Man that's coming up to my house? You know, like all yeah. these questions. And looking back now at like almost 45, it's like, that was so ridiculous. Like things get heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And the responsibilities get larger, I think, as you get older. You've got mortgages and you've got like actual careers that you've built mm-hmm. or people relying on you. Or, I mean, it's just, it's a lot. So I can understand the midlife crisis. I think it's just stress induced for mm-hmm. men and women, probably, I guess.
Like yeah. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I also go to therapy and everything, so that yes. helps with my anxiety, because I do have anxiety.
Yeah.
But I kind of just, I feel like I'm not going through a midlife crisis, because I don't have any kids, so there's nothing, like, if something happens, I should probably get that all, like, I have
babies, yes.
my stuff in order for, like you said, like, proxy and everything, but I need to get that done properly from the state, because I don't know, it's like California, New York, like not here.
Everybody does it differently.
Yeah, so it's like got to keep redoing every time you move to a different state. So that, but the cats will be fine. I mean, I have a cat, hopefully two soon, we'll see, but my cat will be fine. So I just need to put in place, like, who's going to take care of my cat and like how much they get a month and that kind of stuff to take care of the cat. So.
Setting up a little trust.
Yeah, a little kitty trust. So I need to, yeah, so that's something I need to focus on, but it doesn't keep me awake at night. Like, I'm like, literally, if I die intestate, you know, like,
okay, JD, okay.
I'm not like, who cares?
Yeah, I mean,
the state will take care of
it. So, how do you know if you're in a middle? You said, you're not in one. How do you know if you're in?
Because I remember, because that was when I learned about codependency, that was my midlife crisis. I felt like I lost all control of myself. In my own life, I felt like a victim in my life, that my life was living me.
Ooh, living you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I didn't, like, I felt like almost like an unfairness. Like, I felt an unfairness, like, life isn't fair. Like, why haven't I, like you said, achieved these milestones? And I never really sat down and thought about what these milestones even meant.
Or who set them up in the first place. Yeah.
Like, all of these things. Like, weddings. Why do you have to wear white at a wedding? I don't look good in white.
Well, you have to do the whole big wedding anyways. Yeah.
And then the people doing the wedding, you're usually doing it for the family. Mm-hmm. So it's like, they don't even.
Who you doing?
I always hear people say, I didn't even remember. I didn't even get to eat. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm going to be grubbing. This is why I'm single. I'm going to have a little outfit, some pants probably, a little second outfit on.
A little sweatsuit.
Right? Couture just married. I'm just kidding. But it's like, I feel like I was thinking about that. Like, these should be times where you are celebrated. For you. Like, so you, whatever unique things you have going, it should be celebrated. It shouldn't be like, my friend invited me to her wedding because her mom was like, I'm paying for this wedding and I had to go to my friend's wedding, so I have to invite them, and you don't have room for your friends. Yeah.
And, but that's the quote unquote politics of planning a wedding.
And it's your day. You're sitting here excited, and you want to invite your friends to your day, and your parents tell you you can't. See, that's
and
like
it's people at that's your the wedding dependence you have never like, met because they're in-laws' friends or your parents' cousins'
quid pro quo
or whatever. Yeah. Even if they're not paying for it, they have some kind of
I heard that. Yeah, people have a say. Have to have a say. Mm. So I feel like I've been lucky from some drama because it definitely wouldn't have. Like, you don't have to pay, and that's part of my avoidant personality too.
Yeah,
it's like just being able to be like, I got this. You know, like nobody can hold anything over you.
Yeah,
you know, and so I feel like that's part of the things I'm not. I did think about that in a work.
Environment
like circumstance, because they do control like your income. So then it's like getting multiple streams of income, then like we can basically, this part of life is, what can I do to have as much control as I can? And then understand that I can't control everything. So being okay with that and kind of just accepting that I'm probably not going to meet anyone. I mean, it's bad out here in these streets.
Oh my God.
So.
Word of men's.
Hell no. We're the humans at this point.
Functioning humans. Functioning adults.
But that's that, like, I think people are going through it a lot of times and don't even know they're going through it. Yeah. And so when I see a dating profile and it's like, don't do this, don't do that, I'm like, what the?
So there's a list.
Okay.
Of what to look for to see if you are, in fact, a woman in midlife crisis.
I was like, am I, in fact, a woman?
Well, that's ain't a whole I a woman? That's a whole different list. We can have people on to talk about that.
Okay, let's see.
So this is like eye-opening for me. So okay. Number one is depression or increased depressive behaviors.
Okay. Check.
Yeah. Okay. One for one. Two, reflection on deep questions or preoccupation with existential concerns. I have that too.
I feel like I always like to ponder, like, what's the meaning of life? I don't know if it's a crisis.
This is, it says, stark existential realizations that someone has a midlife or what? What? I can't even read. A woman may find herself questioning her life choices, such as her romantic partner, her career, her choices related to becoming or not having become a mother. Mm-hmm. So I guess just the bigger life choices or whatever. So.
Yeah.
Ooh. I guess maybe that's divorce happens more closer to like midlife and stuff. So I think maybe that's part of that.
Because like people aren't the same people. I think that we talked about that before.
Yeah, definitely not. Sleep problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Got that.
Changes in weight. Oh. What? Every woman is in mid. Doesn't matter how old you are. Right? This seems like a whole lifetime issue. Sense of boredom or apathy. Huh. So perhaps it's not depression. I get that sometimes. You're just bored with your life. Like you need something. Like it's time to move. It's time to do.
Yeah, that's why I'd be trying to jump up, move, plan a trip, something.
Oh man, a sense of loss.
I do, like, I get it with kids. Sometimes it's like academically, like intellectually, I know I don't want kids. Like the stress of it all. Yeah. But then, like the animal part of me, it's like you want that reflection. An animal. That reflection of you, you know, to continue on. That's what we're made to do, you know, continue on for what? But, and like, just like the curiosity of, ooh, what would my kid look like? How would they act? Would they be a good kid, bad kid? Like, would I have any say in it? You know, like those kind of things. But, and it'll hit me sometimes when I'm not even thinking and I'll like have a teardrop. I'm like, why am I crying over kids I don't have?
Oh my goodness.
Bills that I don't have.
Or it would be a different life. I mean, I guess it would just be it's contemplating a different life, like the way a life could have gone if you had chosen a different partner, had children, had a different career, moved to a different state, like just the idea of what your life could have looked like.
The thing is like wherever you go, there you are. So I feel like I could have had kids and been a bad parent, you know, like I could have thought that I was
never
I was doing the right thing, you know, like I could have picked a partner who was abusive, like who, like I didn't. So there are all kinds of different ways. I could have had a successful marriage. I could have had successful kids. Yeah. But you don't know.
You don't know.
And you don't know what the future holds or even the present. Like things change so rapidly and
fixating on it will only make you stress and go
crazy. Doesn't do it. Like what can you do about it?
Nothing. That's my thing is until recently, I used to have this mindset of, if I can't control it, what I'm not going to stress about it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to worry about it and stay up nights and whatever. But now I find myself having to control, and that's the anxiety. I think,
that's
control
anxiety.
Everything because I feel like I'm not. I really do think that that was my dad's passing was the trigger of that. Mm-hmm. I'm not in control.
You're not.
I have no control, right? So, I think that's I mean, wow, that was eye opening. Yeah. That set off the anxiety, I think, is that I can't control. Damn.
It's hard. Even I looked back, I used to try to control even with friends. I didn't realize how controlling I was. I'd be like, okay, you can't be in the same space. I'm not inviting these two people to an event because I don't want that energy. Like I'm up here
it's
trying
a security thing too.
Yeah.
To protect your peace, protect, you know, the event or the thing you're trying to do. Protect your memories, your time.
Yeah.
Ooh. A desire to change your physical appearance.
Oh, that's always so.
I mean, I'd like to lose weight.
Yeah, I would like to, but, you know, I work out, but I don't eat right, and that's...
You got to live, you know what I mean?
That's coming. Like, because salads sometimes are good. We'll see.
But not all the time.
Not it's all hard. The time. It's bad.
But I think that's a constant, especially yeah. for women here. I don't know about other places, but in America, like, you're always trying to change your physical appearance.
I'm going
to
be like,
your hair or yeah. your makeup style, piercings, tattoos, style of dress. That
I was thinking about when our faces start to change. Ooh. That's going to...
I've noticed changes in my face. Have you looked at little pictures of yourself? And then now, and you're like, ooh, like...
No, I pretty much look the same. I look the same. Look, I look better.
It I depends. Love that.
It depends on the weight, too.
Okay, you said I look... Okay, so this is... I told a friend of mine the other day. I was like, I think I have reverse body dysmorphia. Mm-hmm. Like, I look in the mirror and I get dressed and I'm like, ooh, I'm feeling it. These jeans, ooh. And then somebody will take a picture and I'll see the picture and I'll be like... Oh,
yeah.
That's like, what I look like.
And then for I real? Get mad at the person taking the picture. Like, oh, you
no,
think
I'm
No,
then I get
ugly?
Mad at myself. Like, oh, like, I literally look in the mirror and I probably look 30 or 40 pounds less than I do in a picture to me in my brain. And then I look at the picture and I'm like,
oh, God. Yeah, I can see that.
It makes me feel like shit.
Oh, no.
I still gas myself up. I'm like Issa Rae, you know, talking right? to myself in the mirror. Like, I'm cute.
How do I get to my page? I was going to show you this picture of me. Look.
But I've noticed, like, little crow's feet in my eyes or, like, tiredness in my eye. Like, just little changes in my face.
Yeah.
Obviously, the gray hair. So changing my physical appearance. I don't want to change my gray hair. I really do want to go salt and pepper, but I have no patience for it. And I think it's such a patient process.
Like, you can tell I was young, but.
Oh, yeah. You still look the same.
But it's like not that drastic of a difference. No. I still had marks on my
face.
Some
people, drastic.
Some stuff cracks.
Oh, what else? Oh, extreme feelings of overwhelm. That's part of anxiety, though.
That's anxiety.
Too. Yeah. But that's prevalent too. Menopause and anxiety, they say, are common at this point in life.
I think also for me, I'm just dealing with some stuff that's not terminal, but...
Heavy stuff.
Yeah. That's like in the ending of possibilities and things like that, health wise, and so it's kind of like acceptance, I guess. Like
yeah.
you gotta. It's like, look, I get teared up now, but it's just like you gotta accept it. This is life. Yeah. So coming to terms with those things, like you have no control over, like, this is it. Now that's one, and then it's just gonna continue to be more stuff.
Don't you? Oh, and then the next one is emotional volatility.
There we go. Just exhibit A.
But things are, yeah, I have no control over my emotions. I never PMS'd. I never had that kind of an issue. Mm-hmm. And I definitely know I'm in perimenopause because I'm losing it.
I doubt it because my doctor told me I'm not. So if I'm not.
Well, mine's I'm going very clearly this said stuff. This is perimenopausal. Like the things that I'm going through.
That's crazy.
Hormone issues, things like that. So,
mindset, I probably won't get there until 50.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Physical pain. That's a sign of a midlife crisis.
I have it here or there, but nothing different than when I was younger. I don't want to.
This says,
like, I'll wake up and be like, ooh, my back for 5 seconds.
Oh, you gotta crack it.
Yeah.
My neck. It says sudden unexpected or unexplained physical pain is a clear sign that your body and mind are going through stress. Obviously, this is what doctors have been telling me lately. This can be a midlife crisis or something else, but physical pain is often a somatization of emotional pain. And I think that is insane. The way that you can be feeling such heavy emotions, unable to process them, so your body manifests it in a way that it can push it out, which is pain. And it's real pain.
Yeah.
So
it's not made up.
So can that kill you? Can that injure you? Like that's stressing me out.
It's just like the placebo effect can heal you. Stress can kill you.
Your mind is so powerful.
It is powerful.
My gosh.
You can heal yourself with your mind.
Yeah, I'm gonna try that.
I want to try the ayahuasca, like we were saying.
Just wipe me out.
That would be so cool, just to just be wiped out. Maybe I'll go to Peru for Christmas.
I don't know how that feels. I saw Chelsea Handler do it. She had like on her little Netflix show that she had, and they were like throwing. I mean, they were physically
throwing
ill,
up, yeah.
And then emotionally like purged. Like it was everything just coming out.
Yeah. And also, I got to remember, I'm not this stable by myself. Like, I got mental health professionals working with me, you know, yes, to keep me happy and like tweak things. And so I don't know if I can, like, what could I might that. Go nuts. Yeah. Like, who knows?
Yeah, maybe hold off on that.
Yeah. Caffeine, oh, if I have too much caffeine, I go psycho. So okay, can you imagine?
That's your only coffee then for today. You are limited.
Can you imagine, like, ayahuasca?
Oh my gosh. And then changes in menstrual cycle. Obviously.
Yeah,
go signs of that. Perimenopause can occur as early as mid-30s, and 12 consecutive months without a period is indicative of the full transition to menopause.
Bring it.
I'm saying, because it's been a long time. So midlife crisis.
Yeah. Just trying to control shit we can't control.
Basically. It's so hard, though. My mind, part of my mind is like, you can't control this. This is just what it is. Pick your battles. Go with the flow. And the other part of me is like, if I don't control it, all the bad things will happen.
And it's so funny. You're the religious one.
You
can give it up to Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ain't y'all supposed to be giving really it Jesus your burden?
I mean, I do. Oops. Sorry. I feel when I do hit my, like, oh my gosh, then that's when I do, you know, maybe. I'm not, like, religious. I'm not every day like, oh, Jesus, you know. But I do when it gets real rough, that's where I go.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
Is that me? I feel like that should be some relief.
I don't have any. It does. It does bring some calm. It does. But I feel like nothing, no calm is lasting for the craziness. Like, it's just too much.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But, I mean, it's kind of a comfort to know that it is a thing. People go through this. People come out the other side. You just, I mean, there's a list of things that you can do to try to deal with your midlife crisis. I'm putting that in quotes because I still feel like calling it a crisis only makes it gives it power. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes it worse.
Yeah, words are powerful.
But you can, it says find or create a community. That's something I struggle with. That's
same. Hard. I struggle with it a lot.
And you do a lot to try to create.
And that's community. What makes it worse. Yeah. It's like, what's wrong with me? I can't create community.
I don't think it's, I think it's like culture now. And I mean, I've talked about this before. With like social media and stuff like that, I feel like it brings people together in the you know, digital world, but pulls people apart in the, you know, in IRL or whatever, in real life. So I feel like that's hard. It's easy. I think people are more inclined to get on and chat and talk and do stuff through a device. But when you're in person, it's difficult for people to connect and want to get out of their house and go do something.
It's just the fakeness of it all. Yeah. Like, I've noticed, like, I even noticed that I was at a social event. People pretty much want to, if they feel like they can't get anything out of you, which makes sense, I guess, they don't really want to talk to you. So it's like, oh, you look a certain way. If I'm next to you by proximity, then maybe some of that will rub off on me. Or you have the same culture as I do, so I'm going to hang out with you, you know.
Yeah, we automatically
click. When I'm in spaces where it's like, I don't have any of that, I'm just like,
I'm here.
I'm just on my own. And unless somebody, that's why I'm really hang out to like a bunch of type A people, because they have like this extra confidence to talk to you and stuff like that. So they end up talking to me and rest is history.
Yeah. I feel like it's important to find community that matches different facets of who you are. I feel like it's easy for me to find friends who are moms
because
we're in the same spaces, we have our kids, and it's kind of like we're forced to be together. But I don't know that I'm able to find community with people who have other, you know, maybe
I have a cat.
Okay. But I mean, like other in this space where I live, other Black woman of color in general.
Oh, that's hard.
I don't know. And then I always have, and I've always felt this because of my background, like just like I don't know that I fully belong in
the same group. And I'm Black.
Yeah. Well, but even more clearly because it's been told to me too. Like, it's like, I don't know if I fit in this
same
group. So like just finding that.
Cause I'm dorky. I ain't got the soul, you know, like.
Yeah. I don't know, but it's finding and creating community is hard. It just is. And I think as you get older, it's harder. You're not in the spaces where you're meeting people and you're doing the social things. Another thing it says is to start a journal or a memoir. Doesn't that sound ridiculous?
I like my memoir. Yeah.
What's the difference between, like, what's a memoir? Just your autobiography?
Yeah, basically. Your history.
Just write that. I feel like that would be, I don't know. Well, I might try it.
I think writing is something I need to do. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know what keeps me from doing it. Same with reading a book. It's like that sitting still makes me nervous almost. And it's like weird because I can sit still on the internet because it feels like I'm getting a feedback. So I'm clicking something and then something's happening.
Yeah.
Versus I'm just,
TV or something.
Yeah, like there's some exchange. But just me giving, like putting down the, I don't know, that bothers me.
Hmm. Never thought about it that way.
It's weird.
I like reading. I've recently picked up reading some more. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, since as long as I've known you, you've liked reading.
I like books. It's just time. It's a time thing. And so I think that time, like for me, it's like, what's the best use of my time? Mm-hmm. Is it sitting here reading this book, or can I be mopping the kitchen floors or preparing dinner? Which sounds ridiculous because who wants to do those things?
Yeah.
But that's, you know, it's like a trade-off. There's only 24 hours in a day.
See, so, I got somebody as soon as I get home, somebody coming and clean up.
Yeah, like I think
and that'll be nice.
I need to start outsourcing somehow.
Just little things and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, you do a great job, so.
I'm trying. Thank you.
Because I'm funny tired. About that. So.
I'm tired. I'm tart. exercise is another one.
Oh, I love exercise.
Yeah. You do the bar classes and all that.
Oh, so fun. I'm an athlete inside. I'm just lazy.
I'm an athlete in here.
Like you inspired me to try to look at some, like.
I got a six pack in here.
Yeah, I do. I felt
it before.
Deep inside. And even my aunt was hugging me and she's like, well, you're tight.
You're firm.
Cause I'm in the back.
You're tight? Okay.
The back is tight. Like, cause everything is stomach, arms,
and that's
thighs.
Stress. That's stress.
Yeah.
Like, that's where stress goes, right?
Well, I also have cantaloupes inside of me, so that's also...
Well, that's the health thing. That's one of the things on here, too, is to take your physical health seriously if you're going through this crisis or whatever.
I think that's why I started saying, okay, I got to stop drinking so much because I was just drinking wine like it was juice. I mean,
it is.
Right? But then the sleepiness that goes with it and stuff and just like the stomach problems I was getting from. And I was like, wow, I just noticed, like you probably even noticed I'm not passing gas as much anymore.
How the hell would I notice?
Not be on the live.
That fermentation.
Yeah. So it's like, I feel like that's the most beneficial thing so far.
Oh, so you're not farting anymore. That's the
best
part.
You know. Depends on what I'm eating. If I eat fried food, but yeah, it's not farting all day.
Oh,
you know?
My goodness. I don't really drink. That's one thing I think that I've been better about is what feels good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it doesn't feel good, I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
And I'm not in social settings anymore where drinking is required or the norm. Cause it's usually, again, mom stuff.
Yeah.
And we're not, I mean, I feel like that's an old or like a very cliche, like, oh, I got wine in my tumbler and I'm doing that, you know.
Oh, they still doing that.
I never did that because I'm also very anxious and I'm not going to be drinking out in public places with my children. It's like, I
and
don't
having
that.
To drive and stuff.
I
yeah, that's
that.
Crazy.
But I don't like the way that wine makes me feel. I get sick, the headaches, the hangovers, like you said, the tummy stuff. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I won't even get the buzz, so what's the point?
Yeah,
like,
that's the part.
You know, like, when you drink it, and I'm like, I'm not getting that.
Or you have to drink more to get the, and it's like, and that's calories too.
Exactly. And it's empty calories that I'm not, you know, I'm not at the club. I'm not hanging with the girlfriends doing the, you know, like the social things that come with it. So there's no point to me. At the end of a stressful day, I don't want a glass of wine. I want a damn nap. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I want to go to, I want to sit in the bathtub and be left alone.
Yes.
Those are the things that feel good to me. So I guess I think that's a huge one is when you get to a certain point, like just listening to your body and your heart and like, what do I need?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I doing X, Y, and Z if it's not what my body needs? Maybe that's what y'all need, but that's not what I need. So,
and even in the class, like I get up and go because I know it is like exhausting feeling like when you would just wake up and have to go to a class. But once it's over with, I feel so invigorated.
Yeah.
And then also I modify. So I don't have to go by what everybody else is doing. If I can't physically do it,
I do
what I can do. Mm-hmm. I'm still moving my body. I'm still getting out there and being active. And that's the most important thing.
I used to do Windsor Pilates every morning. And it's just like a 20-minute. It was popular like in the early 2000s or whatever. And I used to do it all the time. And I recently started doing that. And they had one person there that did the modification and everybody else was doing stuff. And I was fit and I was doing the, you know, I was like, oh, who needs this modification? You're barely doing stuff. Yeah, now I'm the modified person. So now I'm doing the modification. My knees need to be bent to protect my lower back. And, you know, all these kind of things. But, like, I can appreciate that so much because it's still, you have a sense of completion and you have a sense of like, I did it. Mm-hmm. I did what my body is able to do right now.
Yep.
So I can appreciate that for sure.
For sure. Yep. So.
Ooh, what else? See a therapist.
Amen. Been doing that.
Yeah. I'm trying to get back up in that. Actually, I need to make a phone call after we're off of this.
Yes.
But yeah, I can see the benefit in talking to somebody. I always think like an impartial person, an outside person that's not immersed in your shit to be able to look at what's going on and help you through it with clear eyes is always a good idea. I mean, talking to your friends is one thing, but they're invested in you in a different way. And, you know.
And they have sneaky moves because I know I've
sneaky moves.
Sometimes I'll be talking to my therapist and I'm like, oh, they didn't do anything. They just sat there and talked to me, you know, and then it's like they have ways of questioning and things. And
making you come to the realization.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, we're not just shooting the shit here. They actually know what they're doing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. And then they say to reframe it as like a midlife awakening.
Yeah,
midlife
that's what we
do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the way you speak about things is important.
It is.
For sure. But yeah. So women do it differently. I mean, I don't know. I didn't do too much of a deep dive on how men go through midlife crisis, but I feel like a lot of their issue, probably not being able to share their emotions and stuff and coming to grips with all this bottled up, like, whatever they're feeling.
I know. I was going to say, I felt bad the last time when we were recording and I said something about not wanting a scary man. Mm-hmm. And then I saw this guy say, you know, somebody breaks into the house in the middle of the night. Two people are afraid, but only one is allowed to be. And that broke my heart. I'm like, well, I didn't think of it like that. Yeah. Like,
because of course,
where's your
afraid.
Space to be scared? Yeah. I honestly thought people were walking out here fearlessly. I'm like, yeah, that's a fearless warrior.
But for real, we both can't be scared.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
go on, not be scared because I'm going to be scared.
But you know what? If you were alone, you wouldn't have the luxury of being scared either. You would have to.
No, I'd still be scared. But I still act.
If you had
kids
or if you had some. Because I guess if you think of, I mean, I don't like talking about it in these terms, but like the man is supposed to be the head of the household, the protector of the home, right? And then if there's no man in the home and there's, say there's children, the mom is the protector.
Mom lifting up the van and stuff.
So
you get
like,
that power.
If you're in charge and this is your responsibility, I mean, you're scared, but you got to fight through the scared and go do.
Nope.
Or freeze. And that's not an option, but it happens, I think. So, I mean, I don't know. Hopefully nobody coming in the house.
Right.
Get that ring, get the doors, the deadbolts, all those things.
Yeah.
Get yourself situated. I don't know.
Tasers, but whatever's legal.
Damn, tasers, slingshots. So that's midlife crisis.
All right.
Dang. Let me know when you enter yours, because you can join me. The water
I already
is
had
fine.
It. I'm...
The water is just fine. Anyways. All right.
Okay, Bookie.
All right, love you.
Love you.
Okay, bye.